On Monday, New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg announced plans for the John Doe Indictment Project. As part of that plan, law enforcement officials and scientists will review evidence from unsolved sex crimes and attach indictments to DNA samples. Prosecutors hail this as a way to keep rapists from escaping justice, but civil libertarians are worried that such a policy is a threat to the fairness of the system itself. Joining us to talk about it is Peter Neufeld, director of the Innocence Project at Cardozo Law School in New York, and he's with us from his office there. Good to speak with you again.
Nice to see you, Neil.
So how would this work? The statute of limitations, as I understand it, runs out after 10 years on uncharged criminals.
Actually, it runs out after 5 years, but there's an exception which says that if you indict, if you know who it is, but you can't ascertain their location, then you can add on another 5 years. So it becomes, in effect, 10 years.
So this is an attempt to get around the statute of limitations, right?
Well, yes and no. I mean, what it's not... far worse, I think, would be simply to abolish the statute of limitations, which some people have suggested doing. This is something much more limited. It's simply saying that in those cases where there is very, very compelling evidence, let's say it's a rape case involving a 90-year-old woman, and they get the semen evidence, but they don't have the identity of the person, that will then, you know, indict the DNA profile, and if and when we catch the guy, we'll be able to prosecute him.
So this is dependent not just, obviously, on the collection of DNA evidence in the first place, but as I understand it, the prosecutor's office is saying, look, we can't go forward with this unless the accusers themselves are also willing to testify.
Well, that's true. They do need that to make out a case, because you can't go to the grand jury unless you have a complainant. So they're going to have to do that as well. You know, it's our experience that in a lot of these cases, Neil, that as much as the victim would like to sort of put it behind her, on the other hand, she would like closure, and if this can help apprehend the person who committed this crime, then they're willing to cooperate.
In a way, the statute of limitations was instituted in the first place because after so many years go by, people's memories become faulty. The quality of testimonial evidence is degraded over time. The quality of scientific evidence, though, is not.
That's true, Neil, and that's why, you know, they're carving out this exception, but that's why this is a much better approach than saying, well, we don't need a statute of limitations anymore, because in the overwhelming majority of cases, there is no DNA evidence, even in crimes of violence. And if you indict some defendant 15 years after a crime where there's no biological evidence to assure identity, then he or she will be seriously prejudiced.
How many people are we talking about? How many cases?
In New York, we're talking about 600 cases right now. I haven't seen the data in all 600, but they better be careful. And the reason is, you know, people hear DNA evidence and they look at it, you know, in one broad stroke. But you have to remember, if it's semen collected from a rape kit, it means one thing. If it's hair found at the side of the bed of a rape victim, it means something very different. It, you know, hair could be there 2 days, 3 days before the time of the rape. It could be left by a plumber who was fixing the pipes. That's why if they're going to use this exception to the ordinary statute of limitations, they have to do it very prudently and use it very sparingly.
Case by case, if you will.
That's right.
Peter Neufeld, thanks very much.
You're very welcome, Neil.
Peter Neufeld is a founder of the Innocence Project at Cardozo Law School in New York City. He joined us by phone from his office in Manhattan. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.